Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, our next guest was due to get married and had begun organising her honeymoon when tragedy struck and she actually lost her fiancé. Laura Murphy from Newfoundland in Canada is the author of The Solo Honeymoon and joins us now. Good afternoon, Laura. How are you today?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very good. You're very good to talk to us because I can understand this must be still very difficult for you.
Yeah, it is very hard to talk about and the book was hard to write, but...
And it's recent too. It's only in the last 2 years, isn't it?
Yes, it happened in 2024.
So talk me through the decision to go on with the honeymoon. That must have been a really hard decision to make.
It was, yeah. We had planned sort of a delayed honeymoon for a couple months after our wedding because we were trying to coincide with another wedding we were going to attend in England. So after Devin passed away, a couple months had passed where I really wasn't getting out of bed or able to do much of anything. And I knew I had to do something to shake that up, or I thought I would never get out of bed. So I had this ticket coming up and I thought that I would just go on my own.
How did people react when you told them that?
My family was concerned, but yeah, they were shocked, I would say.
Right.
Everybody was a bit concerned about me at that point, but
because you had been planning this, it was quite an impressive 6 week honeymoon you were hoping to take, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, we didn't really have all the planning done. Devin and I didn't. We weren't great planners, to be honest. We knew that we were starting in London and that we had a few things we wanted to tick off, but we didn't have it all set. So even when I went, I just had the one way ticket, and I didn't really know how long I was going to last or what I was going to do. I was just playing it by ear.
I can only imagine the concern of your parents during that.
Yeah, they were concerned. I had to do multiple check-ins per day.
Understandably. And did it differ much to what you had planned with your fiancé?
Yeah, well, like I said, we didn't actually have that much of a plan. Okay. So we just knew that we were going to start in London and go to Italy. And I did do both of those things, but then I ended up adding in like Ireland and France. And because I ended up meeting up with family and friends that were in Europe around the same time.
Okay. Tell me a little bit. You live in Newfoundland. To what extent had you and Devin kind of been building a life together?
Yeah, our lives were completely intertwined. We worked together and we had just moved back to my hometown together and bought a house. And we had two dogs together. We were about to start a family. So... yeah, our lives were completely together.
And then just very out of the blue, devastating blow for you. And you're just saying it's only within weeks of that this idea of the trip starts to form in your head as kind of, I don't know, it's I don't know what your real motivation, how you describe it.
To go on the trip?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had seen a video online of a woman who had lost her fiance as well, that she took a trip with her father that they were supposed to take together. And I found that very inspiring. And she just seemed so strong. And she was a couple of years out and she seemed like she was doing so much better. And I was in such a dark place. And I just thought, okay, maybe I could do something like that.
Right.
And I really wanted to be out of my hometown. I'm from a small place. I just wanted to be somewhere where no one knew me.
Right. So what was your first stop? Central London, was it?
Yes, it was.
How was that?
It was good. Yeah, I just booked 3 nights in a hotel there and I didn't know what I was doing after that. But it was kind of a shock to go from my small hometown to be in the middle of London. But it was good. It was good.
You slept for 40 hours?
I did. I could not get out of bed once I got there. Yeah, that was pretty bad.
There's a real message in that, isn't there?
Yeah, I was exhausted. Just the travel. Yeah, that shows what state I was in at that point.
Oh my God. You talked about a very lonely pub lunch, but you post on TikTok about this, don't you?
I did. Yeah. I was kind of just posting for my family and friends to follow along because they were so concerned about me. But I had also followed, a few other people on social media that something similar happened to them. And I found their videos quite helpful. So I thought, okay, maybe if I post this, someone else will see it and connect with it.
Right. And 2 days later, 2 million people had connected with it.
Yeah. Yeah. That was very surreal to me.
How did you feel about that?
Oh, I was shocked. Yeah. I was never a big social media person. So I barely even knew how to use TikTok. So it took me so long to post my video and all that. But yeah, I was shocked.
But the finding that so many people identify with what you've gone through, how did you feel about that?
Yeah, it was heartbreaking in a sense. I was getting so many messages from people who had also been through tragedies, and you know, it made me feel like connected to them and seen, I guess. But it was also quite heartbreaking to read about everybody else's story.
Was there a bit of surprise though? Because I think when something like that happens to you, you tend to feel that it hasn't happened to anybody else. But when you see so many other people giving you similar stories, is that a help?
It was a help. Yeah. I am from, again, I said this multiple times, but I'm from a small place, and I didn't know anybody else my age who had lost a partner. Like, I felt extremely alone. All of my friends were getting married and having kids, and yeah, I didn't know anybody else in my position. So, but then when I started, you know, I guess when I opened it up to the rest of the world, there actually are a lot of other people in my position.
Yeah. I find that just in terms of problems right across the board, to be able to talk to, you know, a person like you, somebody who knows what you're going through, can identify it. That, for me, it's worth its weight in gold.
It was. It was very helpful.
And listen, what you arrived in Ireland. So what was the connection with Ireland?
Well, my fiance's mother and her twin sister were going to be traveling there. And I was in England at the time, and they said, you should come over. So I did. They have a friend with a house in Carlingford. So they were going to her house just to stay for a week. So I went and met up with them there.
Right. It seems there was a very cathartic moment on the Mourne Mountains in County Down.
Yes, it was. Devin's mom wanted to scream on a mountain. So that was on our bucket list for Ireland. And we did it.
How was it?
It was good. Yeah. It was like uncomfortable for me. I don't really raise my voice ever or swear much.
Most of us don't.
Yeah. But yeah, it was cathartic.
The only experience I have of that is John Lennon's famous screaming sessions, in which he claimed he worked through millions of scarring in his life. So,
yeah, I believe it. I think it could work. I should do that again.
Right. It seems that the place where, you know, Italy, really something resonated with you there. What was all that about?
Yeah, that was probably my most anticipated stop, because Devin and I had talked about going there so many times, and it was a special place for his family. They had vacationed there together. So it was a highlight of the trip, but it was also a low of the trip, because I kind of felt his absence, I would say, the most there. But I met up with his sister and his dad there, which was amazing. His sister is probably the person that makes me feel closest to him. So it was nice to have that experience with her.
Right. Not something you'd ever want to go through, but it sounds like you were getting good supports around you.
I was, yeah. It was a big mix of, I would do some time on my own, and then I would meet up with a loved one somewhere. So,
and of course,
yeah, a lot of people.
They're going through it as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
God. So when you came back from the whole thing, did you think it was something that had been worthwhile? And could you see that, you know, you were glad you had done it?
Yeah, I was very glad I did it. It didn't fix everything, of course, but like, it did make me feel stronger, and like I could do things and, you know, put one foot in front of the other. And yeah, it made me feel like there were more places I wanted to see and more living I wanted to do, so that I knew I had no choice but to kind of go on.
Right. The phrase I've seen, that it kind of lit a little tiny flame of hope in you.
Yeah, it did. It really did.
But no quick fix though, really, is there?
No, of course not. It's a couple of years out, and you know, I still have really hard days, but there's been lots of happiness as well.
Thank God for that. So going on the honeymoon was one thing, but writing the book, why did you want to do that?
I've always been a book lover, a big book lover. And after Devin passed away, kind of my first inclination was to start writing to him. I had found myself reaching for my phone to text him, or I was so used to talking to him all day, every day. We worked together, lived together, you know. So I just found I found the most helpful way to process my grief was to write to him. And then ultimately I decided I should channel this into a book.
Was that hard to write?
It was extremely hard to write, harder than I could have imagined, kind of going back and reliving everything and examining all the relationships in my life. And yeah, it was incredibly hard, but I'm happy that I have these memories documented.
I mean, you've done two things that are enormously cathartic, the honeymoon itself and now the book about it.
Yeah.
do you feel they've been, you know, very worthwhile to you?
Yeah, they have been worthwhile. I think if I hadn't been writing the book, I wouldn't have forced myself to go back and reflect on everything. It was, you know, it's very painful to do. But yes. In writing the book, I forced myself to do that. So I think it's helped with my healing.
And not just yours. I think other people as well will be reading it and identifying with your strength in this, because this hasn't been easy at all, has it?
No, it hasn't. Yeah, I've had amazing messages and feedback from people. So that's been heartwarming.
Great. Well, Laura, it's a very brave thing you've done and heartbreaking story as well. So we can only wish you all the best in the future and hope that tiny flame of hope continues to kindle. Thank you very much for joining us.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.